You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week we drift towards a Zaction film. You know, unfortunately Zach is not here because Zach just doesn't, But we are talking a kind of classic, Predator, 1987's Predator. We have two governors involved. And, you know, it's just kind of a schlock fest and fun. It's interesting. I had forgotten about how little, you know, the Predator actually appears in it, but I was surprised. I enjoyed it. Hope you will too. First off, let me give you guys a little bit of a plug. If you are around the Atlanta area tonight, as this comes out, Stragglers, a Atlanta area indie horror movie, is going to be riffed by Cineprov. I'm not on there, but I will join you in the audience. However, this one is unique because the director is actually going to be there. Meanwhile, later this month, I will be riffing Frankenstein's Castle of Freaks, along with Cineprov. So, you know, rate, review, enjoy, and I hope to see you at Cineprov.
ESO, 7 years of keeping it really geeky.
Hey! What are you trying to do? You ruined my record, man! I just bought it!
Hey, you guys!
How exciting! Spoilers!
Come! 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Bye, bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.
The Earth Station One podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstationone.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week we watched 1980, what, 8, 9?
Sevens.
How did you both know that? God damn it. All right, 1987's Predator.
Looked it up on the MDib.
Right now? Is that what you're doing? Actual research?
Not yesterday.
Yesterday? I don't remember 10 minutes ago. Anyway, Predator, 1987. This one has two governors in it, and Carl Weathers.
He's got a stew going.
He's got a stew. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Predator. Jesus Christ. 153 episodes, and I can't remember how I do this. Welcome to Myopia Defender Childhood. I am host Nick Hoffman, editor of DudeLetter.com and host of Myopia Defender Childhood, member of Cineprov, as I've been promising Larry I would plug. He doesn't listen. He doesn't know. And on panel with me, we've got...
Jeremy.
And...
Hello, this is Daniel, and I ain't got time to bleed.
So, you guys, you've seen this. What do you think? Was this your suggestion? Was this my suggestion?
I think it was your suggestion. I don't know.
What do you think?
I would have suggested Predator 2.
It was on Turner Classic Movies because it's...
Why?
What?
Yeah, it's on my TiVo. It's awesome. Gary Busey and Danny Glover, right?
That like that late night show that Rob Zombie used to host on TCM?
I sure hope so. If he does the intro and the outro, that's the best part of it.
I don't know. This didn't hold up to me as well as a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, a lot of the other ones. I kind of wish they kept Jean-Claude Van Damme as the Predator.
The sexual Predator?
Is this where I do my split kick?
No, the actual one. He was in the costume for like 2 days and he's like, yep. I cannot continue because I do not play a special effect.
That accent's getting worse every time you say something.
Yes, it is.
It's impressive. Now, I will say, the guy who did Predator... Who was the Predator, some non-actor. It was unnecessary. Like, he didn't do anything. So, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was probably wasted. But, so...
In more ways than one.
Well, was that really it?
Come on, man. All right. So I guess you guys liked it. Whatever. I thought it was fun. I hadn't seen this all the way through in a long time. I thought it was charming. But I got nothing here. So, Daniel, before we go on, will you give us our plot synopsis?
Alrighty, so there's this elite team consisting of Bobby Builders and Carl Weathers who are tasked with going in and...
Hey, Carl Weathers looks really good.
Carl Weathers is like arm wrestling Arnold in the second scene, and he is ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks good in his polo shirt. They're both be poloed.
Mm-hmm.
He kept that, you know, Rocky routine going.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, they're part of this elite combat force that's supposed to go into some Central American... revolutionary force and extract some hostages and along.
Yeah, like they don't even name a country. Yeah. They don't, like, the deputy minister they're supposed to rescue doesn't even have a name.
The point is they're in a jungle, and also in this jungle is this alien creature who exists to hunt men for sport, and he's already killed another SEAL Team 16 that Arnold Schwarzenegger knew, and once they get there and blow up the revolutionary's compound, the Predator starts going after them and picking them off one by one.
Yeah, so we should kind of get into this a little bit, but this is a very Joel Silver movie.
Yeah.
It's a lot of vaguely homoerotic themes, a lot of very masculine guys who are coming onto each other.
Like Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger arm wrestling.
Or Jesse the Body Ventura and whatever toady he's talking to, and he's like, you should chew some of this tobacco, it'll put hair on your balls or whatever. It'll make you fuck like a Tyrannosaurus, a sexual Tyrannosaurus, because someone needed to say that. He ran for governor and won, guys. That is a governor speaking.
Look at our president.
Yeah, nothing about that surprises me anymore. Let's be honest.
I would take Jesse Ventura over Trump any day.
Well, Jesse Ventura is basically Alex Jones now.
He basically was then.
Yeah.
Goddamn government's putting tap water fluoride to make the frogs queer. God damn it.
I don't know whose accent that was. That wasn't Jesse Ventura.
No, that sounded pretty good.
He's just coming on to men. It's literally sometimes.
Well, I did like that. I don't have time to bleed bit. And then the other guy who's with him when he says it is like, what the fuck?
Well, we also
not a human thing to say.
We also have a whole bunch of weird stereotypes. You have the Native American Billy, who's the tracker, because this movie had no time for anything PC.
Nope.
He was a scout, and he was Native American, and he hunts through the... I sense something. And you're just like, the fuck? He even has a bear claw necklace on.
Yeah.
It's so... Again, and this is all very homoerotic. It's a bunch of glistening men, shirtless a lot of the time, just Arnold coming out of...
Oh, he's rubbing his chest down with mud.
I will say Arnold looks really good in this movie. No, I mean it. I mean,
it's not as if he was concentrating on acting.
Yeah, he's eye candy. And B, this is not the full roid era. This is not like Stallone where he looks like one giant testicle.
No.
Or The Rock where he looks like he can't turn. Right? He looks like he's in a bat suit all the time.
Schwarzenegger has a neck.
Yeah. And, you know, and so he's emoting as much as an Austrian can without invading Poland. But you're doing the best you can. I would say he's good in this movie. You're right. The movie doesn't hold up particularly well, but
by his
good.
Own standards, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I give him credit. He's the only one who got how shitty Batman and Robin was. He's like he can get a movie when it's shitty.
This
was real.
We got Schwarzenegger. All puns. Just all puns. No dialogue.
I'm going to freeze your assets. I can keep going.
Please don't.
All right.
I don't know, though. This wasn't as fun as like Commando was or like Terminator 2 was.
Commando is... I guess a movie we've already done. It's awesome.
It is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. So we kind of should get into this. I forgot the misdirect at the beginning. I assumed that they were going in to rescue someone and the Predator was already there. But this is a completely different movie for the first 45 minutes, which is kind of neat.
I'd remember that, but it went on a lot longer than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, so essentially, like you said, Carl Weathers is there.
He's the Paul Reiser from Aliens of this movie.
Right. He's the man. He's the CIA. He's there to figure this thing out. Dutch, who's Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, just thinks he's assembling his guys for a rescue mission. He's not an assassin, which he's clearly an assassin. But the whole notion is that he's there to protect and kind of rescue these people in this shot-down helicopter. But very quickly, they find these men who have been completely skinned, which is something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens.
It's the jungle. You get bored.
You skin someone.
So they forgot they were making Predator and decided, Cannibal Holocaust. We can throw something in from that.
Cannibal Holocaust is less cohesive than this. I think this is a better movie than Cannibal Holocaust. Which I know, going out on a limb saying this is better than Cannibal Holocaust. But they actually have an interesting kind of fun fight scene. So they find the skin people pretty soon after the racial Indian stereotype guys, like, oh, look, naked people, no skin, weird.
Ooh, 3 days old.
That turned into like Punjabi Indian there for a second. That's pretty good. Oh my goodness, these people have no skin on them.
I was just quoting MST3K. I don't know what you were doing.
I was doing a poo. But so they then find the gorilla's base, and this is a 20-minute action sequence that has no purpose. It's great.
What was that bit where Schwarzenegger lifts up that truck and fills it with explosives just to push it down?
So they didn't have electricity, so what they did is they had an old diesel truck running on a treadmill, effectively, to generate power.
Yeah.
And so he single-handedly lifts this old Toyota and runs it as an explosive into the tent.
Without telling anybody he's going to do it first, because they're all looking at him like, no, what the hell?
No. And it's, but on top of this scene is whatever, the 10 guys, and then the one that was put upon, they didn't want Carl Weathers there because he's the man and they work together as a team and all this crazy crap. Turns out that it's not not the gorillas. It's a CIA base, it's a Russian base. It's KGB.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an inside man that got killed, and that was the other group, Hopper's men.
Yeah.
By the way, isn't Jim Hopper the name of the sheriff from Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah.
So that was okay. It's another reference.
I think we just found the most obscure reference in Stranger Things.
Yeah, so the sheriff, the man who lays down the law, is the first guy killed that we don't even see killed in Predator. Fine.
He fought but he was with Schwarzenegger at Fort Bragg.
Important detail. Thank you, Daniel.
The movie insisted we know, so I felt
they said,
the need
they
to
said
pass
it like
along.
Eight times. Yes. You're absolutely right. I had forgotten the base, but this movie, someone wrote a line. There's probably 10 real lines of dialogue. There's not even like the speech from Conan the Barbarian where he's crying out to the god, like man versus god in the most simple. No, there's no dialogue here except for get in the chopper, which we're not to yet. But we've got to save our dialogue so we have something to talk about in 10 minutes. But we end up in this kind of battle sequence where whatever they are, 10 men, destroy 50, 60 men because they are the A-team.
Because it was the 80s and they were Americans and they were bodybuilders, so obviously they couldn't be killed.
This is the most pro-Reagan movie I've ever seen. This is like dick on the table, testosterone.
I'd say Red Dawn is the most pro-Reagan movie I've ever seen.
We haven't done that yet. That's got to be a Stu tune. That's so good.
Oh.
Do you have something, Jeremy?
No.
You're fine.
So, yeah, I mean, though, it's weird because there's like visual POV shots of the Predator throughout, so you'll like see the mission like with heat vision. So obviously, and they never explain what it is, and I think there's a couple scenes even during that opening where you see the like camoed Predator,
mm-hmm.
like just in the background. So it's they're trying to build up to it, but it's just it takes a little while to get there.
So it's From Dusk Till Dawn before From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, it's without the Tarantino like kind of squeezing all over the place. Yeah. That's the Clooney one, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure, man. I'm so tired right now. The baby has a flu or is sick. The baby doesn't have a flu. She's so I'm sleepy. So we have this scene where as they've finished killing off these gorillas, they realize that these probably aren't the people that have horribly butchered someone. They find these bodies. They're looking for answers. They find this woman who we never really get who she's supposed to be other than she survives.
Yeah,
right?
She was just kind of there.
I was going to say she's eye candy, but she's not even that. They just drag her around. And for some reason, Carl Winters is Weathers.
She satisfied the 80s version of the Bechdel test. Like, we have a woman. What more do you want?
And keeps it from being possibly the gayest movie they could have put together. I mean, quite literally. I mean, we did Top Gun, and that is quite
even with a woman that was gay.
Yeah, I saw Call Me by Your Name, and I gotta say, I think Top Gun beats Call Me by Your Name in homoerotic. I don't even want to say subtext, just text.
Yes.
So her character's name is Anna. I have to say some of these names because I'm gonna keep getting Carl Weathers wrong. His name is Dylan.
Dylan is CIA. All these. This is the stupidest plot.
What was Jesse Ventura's character's name? I've already forgotten.
Humpy.
What?
Blaine. His name is Blaine.
I would have believed you if it was Humpy.
Balls. Testes.
Yeah.
Brass. Probably something like brass. They're all sergeant, too. They all have the same rank, and they keep referring to each other as sergeant. No one is good in this movie except for Schwarzenegger.
That's kind of a stretch.
Who's good?
Carl Weathers? I wouldn't say Schwarzenegger's good in this movie.
Oh, okay, fine. You can make that argument. I was going to say, who's the other black guy? Bill Duke. Mac, right?
He was probably my favorite.
He's great. He's losing his shit at one point.
Yeah,
he
sees
the jungle come to life and then tear apart Jesse Ventura, whose last line is, take your balls out of my mouth. I don't know. What was it? The dialogue doesn't matter. This is terrible. But he freaking out is amazing. Billy freaking out is pretty good.
Yeah.
When he's like, there's something in that tree. I don't know what it is. And everyone's freaked out because the guy who's not terrified is terrified.
Who was the one that got their skull ripped out? Was that Ventura?
Yeah, that was Billy.
Oh.
Yeah, that was where we see a gash go into his back and then him just being held up by the spine.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not a lot to talk about, I realize, because the movie's not – there's not a plot. But it's fairly cohesive. After they blow up the gorilla compound, they're just being hunted. They realize they're being hunted eventually. But the scene where Mac freaks out and tears apart the forest is pretty great.
And it leads to the single best line, although I'm pretty sure they copied it from somewhere when they find that like...
pain don't hurt.
No, when they find that glow stick blood on that leaf and they're like, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
If it bleeds, we can kill it. That's one of those.
Nicely done.
Yeah, I can almost do Arnold. You'd think it'd be the easiest impersonation. It is. I'm just not good at impersonating.
That was Bobcat Goldthwait right there.
You do a good Bobcat. Thanks. Son of a bitch is dug in like an Alabama tick. I'm just looking at IMDb now. That's all terrible. It's all terrible.
Doesn't it have like a 7.8 on IMDb? Isn't that its score?
Well, everything rated by IMDb is about 100. The Metascore is 44. So.
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay.
Also, did you notice the scene that they ripped off of Full Metal Jacket? After Billy dies, after Blaine dies, and Mac is singing the song that they were playing in the helicopter, like the Mickey Mouse Club scene at the end of Full Metal Jacket.
That came out the same year as Predator.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So that must have been a later script edition, but that's literally what he's doing. He's, with a tear in his eye, he's carrying a minigun after his dead friend is torn apart singing about Long Sally or whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Long Tall Sally.
It's such a stupid thing. And I'm sure that... Okay. He's good. I'll give you that. Yes. But it's such a weird, powerful scene for no reason, man. No one had a purpose in this movie other than to be
killed by the Predator.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the strange thing about it is I just kept thinking about to like Alien and Aliens, because I always thought with Aliens, like, yeah, this is a good action movie, but it's not a good sequel to Aliens because it's too Reaganomic-y.
Yeah. You mean the corporate bad guy?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And it was made by a Canadian, so.
Yes, I know. Well, anyway, though, I always thought, you know what? I wonder what it would be like if this was, like, separate from the Alien franchise. Would it still be good? And then I see Predator, and I'm like, no. No, it really would not, because this really is Aliens, just not part of the Alien universe.
So we should kind of contextualize this then, right? Because I guess this is more of a movie podcast episode than a funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny. But
speak for yourself, sir.
I am. Trust me. But I was thinking about this, right? When we're talking about the Alien movies, they're not only often very well made, they're very expensive looking. Those sets are incredible. The effects are incredible. The Xenomorph costume is, especially in the first two.
Oh, even the bad ones look great.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And when you have like the little... puppets scattering on the ground, they make that look good. The Predator outfit is cool, and but we only see it for maybe 5 minutes. We see the Predator himself without the mask on for even less time.
Mm-hmm.
Where did this money go? This was a $15 million budget. That's a lot for 87, man. And frankly, you're right. The after effects package to make the laser blasts is now something that comes standard. Right. It's in every sci-fi original movie you've seen in the last 20 years.
Well, I think Stan Winston still did the makeup on this, which is why the Predator itself probably looks really good. Although I hated the bit where it started talking.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
The night vision is also kind of a cop-out, but it's okay.
It works for the character.
You have no dialogue, so you need a gimmick, and that's its gimmick. What about you?
I mean, I loved The Predator, and yes, in the 80s, they couldn't really do this kind of stuff professionally, so, I mean, it's used sparingly, but, I mean, I guess that's one of the things is, you know, we have this mysterious hunter, so it's more effective if we don't show it.
Well, and I will agree that it's one of those movies that was a short story that clearly got made into a script, right? Because this, like you said, it's the deadliest game.
I think according to the Tribune, the whole pitch for this was, you know who Rocky hasn't fought yet? E.T.
Yes, that's exactly right. And it was supposed to be, wasn't it Stallone at one point too?
I'm sure it was because they offered everything to Stallone in the 80s.
And they were wrong to do so. Mm-hmm. I think Arnold, frankly, held up better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not just that he's funny and can tell a joke. It's that he doesn't have this. I mean, they all have egos about them. Yeah. But Stallone would have demanded a writing credit, an executive producer credit.
Yeah, well, Arnold never had Rocky, so
yes.
he knew where his limits were, and he stayed in them. And he
Governor of California.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger at least knows that he has several shortcomings, and he knows how to have fun doing it. And Stallone just takes everything way too seriously.
Well, and in that vein, this movie takes itself not seriously at all. Well, kind of.
I think Ventura takes himself a little too seriously, which kind of brings the movie down.
It does. Although I do like the flirt of glances between him and everyone else, because Carl Weathers is like grit, and he's like, you're just like,
oh buddy. Boy.
This is before his movie, Abraxas. Abraxas is another movie that shouldn't exist, but kind of does. That's a stay tuned. That's a very funny, riffable movie, because he takes it so seriously that he is fighting people from outer space and whatever. That's a terrible movie.
How come Rowdy Roddy Piper wasn't in this movie?
He would have been a good heavy.
He would have been.
The Undertaker could have shown up. Hulk Hogan. You could just go through the whole WWE.
I don't know. Hulk Hogan. I know the movies he's been in.
He could have been the caretaker at the beginning in a tutu or whatever that one was. Mr. Nanny. No, that was Michael Keaton. We talked about that one today.
No, I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan did a movie like that.
Yeah, but what was it called? Do you remember? Getting Even with Dad?
No.
So we've been talking about 25 minutes here. What we should kind of do, I think, is talk about the Predator as a character and kind of how this fits into action movies.
Okay.
So you like the Predator costume, you like the outfit, you like the idea of him, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, the whole thing, like as you said, it's a short story padded out to feature length. If without the Predator, the movie dies, basically.
I would have preferred if they'd taken more, speaking of short stories, from The Most Dangerous Game, which they kind of did in that one Predator movie from like 8 years ago that had Adrian Brody in it.
Predators?
Yeah, where it's like just a bunch of, and it could still be the same elite team, you know, they get kidnapped and dumped on an alien world, they have no idea what's going on, and then the Predators are still hunting them. I don't know, the jungle setting just seems a little cliched, boring.
The only thing I will say, though, it's great that they didn't have to set up that they're the best of the best. We saw them be the best of the best.
That's true.
You're right. It did take too long.
Yes.
But it does make me wish. I had to look up the name of this movie. We should watch Surviving the Game.
Oh,
Ice-T, motherfucker. And Gary Busey. His teeth chomp across that whole thing. And Rutger Hauer's the bad guy, so you know it's good.
In terms of hunting men for sport, nothing beats Hard Target. I'm just throwing that out there.
We could do a whole Hunting Men for Sport series next year. Mm. This one also has Charles Dutton and John C. McGinley and F. Murray Abraham. Jesus Christ.
That is way too much abbreviated shins and names right there.
Well, and it's also too good of a cast for the movie it is, if I recall. Not that we're talking Jean-Claude Van Damme. Hard Target with Wilford Brimley as a New Orleans sharecropper.
And Lance Henriksen's the bad guy.
Beautiful.
I had a shotgun, but a crocodile ate it. Right?
Yeah.
Line?
No.
I can't do it. I won't. But.
Well, I don't know though. I mean, I agree with you that the whole best that showing that this team is as good as it is really was effective, even if it went on a little too long. And then having the Predator just shoot them, like kill some of them in like what, one shot in that one case with Jesse Ventura.
Well, it blew him in half.
Yeah, that was fine.
The other guy's face off.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I will say. Talking about the budget earlier did make me think of Alien. Why did people want to put these two characters together? Is it just that they were aliens? Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's just because, you know, they're owned by the same studio, so they were like, hey, these are two good franchises. So
thematically, it's the same. It's, you know, this vicious creature tearing apart the best of the best, because I assume everybody was thinking of Aliens, the second one, when they were thinking of this grouping.
But, like, the difference is the very, for lack of a better term, phallic and vaginal imagery of Alien is nowhere here. This is a very bright colored Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I disagreed. Those mandibles.
When the Predator opens his mouth,
those mandibles.
It's very vaginal. Fine. My thought is, like, that the H.R. Giger stuff is very dark. It's very claustrophobic. It's horrifying because even in an open space, you feel like you are surrounded, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. So it's out in nature. It's brightly colored. You're just being torn apart. Like, the blood is just as bright. Like, yeah. You know? It's like Commando in that way. It's like a lot of his movies. Last Action Hero, which is a stay tuned. But also an unwatchable movie.
Yeah, that's one that is not cohesive at all.
It's such a clever idea. A lot of his movies have clever ideas, and then he's like, I am going to act to be or not to be.
That was pretty good when they're in the video store. How come everybody's number goes 555? Different area codes.
I laughed at a stupid Schwarzenegger joke. God, I hate it. I hate that he was actually good at this, right? That's the worst part, is that it's actually kind
And he
of
was
fun.
40 when he made this movie.
I don't look that good now, so there's not much hope.
Yeah.
You are one ugly motherfucker. That's more Jean-Claude Van Damme, actually. He throws it after Dutch has nailed a guy to a wall with his knife. Stick around.
And that was Schwarzenegger improvising.
I'm sure it was. I was going to say knife this, but that didn't work. So we took 47 other takes until I made one that worked.
Well, that's one thing that I've always wondered. Why Arnold Schwarzenegger? What made him such a huge star at the time?
He's charismatic as fuck. No, honestly, because when he does that little glint in his eye and smiles, you buy the scene. That's what it is. Steven Seagal is not at all charismatic and is also kind of rapey. He has a fuck dungeon that is non-consensual.
I know.
The purpose of it, not the fuck dungeon, the purpose of being an action hero is that Bruce, fucking Die Hard, we just did it.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of the character's name.
John McClane.
Thank you. When McClane is in the ductwork, you feel bad because he's bleeding and he's like, God damn it, it was supposed to be a Christmas party. Like, if that doesn't work, the movie falls apart. Because Hans Gruber could be as charismatic as he wants to be, but since he's not the hero, he's not on screen that often.
Well, what works about Die Hard, though, is that John McClane is a very scared figure. He, like, spends the first act trying to call the police to get backup, and he's only fighting the terrorists because he's forced into it. Like, they find him, and he has to fight to survive, and he doesn't, like, just grab their neck and twist it. It's because they're falling downstairs. But Schwarzenegger was, like, some sort of weird parody of a human being in all of his movies.
Well, but again, he still pulls it off. He's still charismatic. There are people who can't do that, and we see it time and time again.
Steven Seagal
is, I mean, just the right era. But, you know, Keanu Reeves is in this weird place, too, because when he plays serious, he can't do it. When he's goofy, like Point Break, he's great, right?
I think John Wick.
I am an FBI agent. I am an FBI agent.
I think John Wick works because he's just way too serious, and the premise is just that ridiculous.
You need ridiculousness, man. He is charismatic, too.
He is.
I love him. I don't know. I'm sure we can think of other people who are terrible at everything they do, but that's a job for another.
Chuck Norris
is garbage. Vin Diesel. He is not a good actor.
No, he's not.
His best movie was his first, Iron Giant. Stick there. You're done.
He was in Saving Private Ryan before he was in Iron Giant.
He didn't have a line in Saving Private Ryan, did he?
He had that whole monologue where he's like holding out the letter going, it's for my dad.
Thank you.
I was thinking he was one of the ones who just died on the beach, but guess not. Mm-hmm. Did he end up being a stormtrooper? I know he wanted to be. I know Daniel Craig was, and apparently William and Harry were.
They cut them out of the movie.
Would you do that?
I would.
I would, just to say I cut the royals from a movie.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're stormtroopers. How would you know? I could say I was in Star Wars and no one could prove otherwise.
You're awfully tall for a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. Let's go around the horn. Jeremy, did you like it?
It definitely did not hold up. The first half just drags. It doesn't really pick up till the Predator comes on. I mean, the Predator is great. I think the design's great. And his violence is vicious in a gleeful way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just takes too long to get there, and after that, you just kind of lose interest.
I'm kind of with Jeremy. It just didn't hold up as well as I thought it would, because it's not sure whether or not it wants to be completely serious or just this goofy thing. I mean, the first act is a really goofy 80s parody, but then the Predator shows up, and they try and want to emulate the first Alien, and those tones together just don't work that well. Plus, I don't know. I don't know why Jesse the Body Ventura thought he could be in movies, but he can't. Although the sexual Tyrannosaurus line was pretty good.
I enjoy the movie. You're right. I don't know where this falls in the lexicon of like 80s action flicks. You know, Schwarzenegger's someone I like, and if he's in a movie, I'll kind of just leave it on. But there were times when I'm like, I better pick up the basement. You know, I was just bored. I couldn't care. I do think the action sequences are great. They go on a little bit too long. And during that, there's often very little dialogue. It's just kind of him screaming and blowing up. Like, so when they're, it's almost better when they're afraid of what's going to happen than when it's actually going on. Right? When the Predator first makes an appearance and people are freaking out, they don't know what to do. Like you said, like the aliens bit, those are effective because they're cribbing notes.
Right.
But I'd say, you know, it's still something worth keeping around because it's just a lazy Sunday afternoon action movie when you're kind of soaking up a hangover.
Oh, yeah.
And you just want to watch something where you don't have to pay attention. You're just like, hey, something's happening.
Chug Gatorade. Although you'll have to mute for the explosions if you're going to watch it during a hangover.
Turn it way down. Yeah. Turn the brightness down. Mm-hmm. But we are out of time. Before we go, I'm going to give you a hint for next week's episode. We couldn't go any more different as far as type of movie. But I will say this is the only live-action movie I can think of where a talking animal was nominated for Best Picture. Oh. So stay tuned next week and every future week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defender Childhood is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. The theme song is Caroline by the Serenaders, and their music is available on Amazon. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And tune in next week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.